review the Bhagavad Gita. Let's read the Sanskrit. Udragitam Bhagavata Shrotra Sarve Prachetasa Japatam Sate Tapaste Pu Pashanam Ayutam Jale Gitam Bhagavata Shrotra Sarve Prachita Saha Chapatam Pantastate Tapaste Pur Pashasanam Ayutam Jale. Stotram, prayer, sarve, all, prachetasaha, the princes known as the prachetas, japantaha, reciting. Te, all of them. Tapaha, austerity. Tepu, executed. Vashanam, of ears. Ayutam, 10,000. Jale, within the water. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. All the Prachita princes simply stood in the water for 10,000 years and recited the prayers given to them by Lord Shiva. Repeat, please. All the Prachita princes simply stood in the water for 10,000 years and recited the prayers given to them by Lord Shiva. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, in the modern age, one may be amazed how the princes could stand in the water for 10,000 years. However, living within the air or living within the water is the same process. One simply has to learn how to do it. The aquatics live within the water for their whole life span. Certainly, favorable conditions are created to enable them to live within water. In those days, however, people use it to live for 100,000 years. Out of so many years, if one could spare 10,000 years for the sake of austerity, he would be assured of success in his future life. This was not very astonishing, although such a feat is impossible in this age. It was quite possible in Satya Yuga. All the Prachita princes simply stood in the water for 10,000 years and recited the prayers given to them by Lord Shiva. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jana Jana Shalakaya Chakshuri Militam Jena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first, thank you very much for one more chance to share some thoughts with you. It's always a challenge trying to think what little experience we have that could be relevant for you. I know many of you are very serious devotees, so I always ask for your apologies for things which are not as good as it could be. Here in this verse, we've just had the song by Lord Shiva, and the song is a perfect song given by a Mahajana. Actually, the purpose of the Vedas is to develop a relationship with Krishna, because he is the only substance. So that's the whole purpose of the Vedas. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented this as the Vastu Traya, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, presenting that Krishna is everything. So Krishna is Sambandha, Krishna is Abhideya, and Krishna is Prayojana. And there are three deities which follow that, being Radha Govinda, the Abhideya deity, where you do something, the activity is going. So on Sunday, we had a beautiful exposition by His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami, how Abhideya is the experience, and actually how that's what we're looking for in life. He was even giving an example how a building is simply a result of someone's effort. But in reality, It's the experience to be in that building that makes one endeavor to do something there. But if the building has nothing to do with us, then the building is as good as just any other building. So he was giving that very nice point in his class, how experience is what you're really looking for. And the ultimate happiness is the experience to be united to Krishna. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he presented the Vastutrai, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, he presented Krishna in such a way that we can understand his parts, the field, the process and the goal. The Prachetas, being qualified devotees, they had the adhikar, they were prepared to receive that knowledge. And by having the right consciousness in the right moment, the Guru appeared, Lord Shiva manifested for them. And by the right attitude towards the Guru, they received the perfect sambandha, the perfect knowledge. And this knowledge showed that the perfection of life is to worship the two-armed Shyamasundara in his beautiful form. And that's the form which Lord Shiva is asking to see in his prayers as the ultimate goal. And he's also saying that this song has been given by Lord Brahma, which then passed on to Bhrigu, who wanted to instruct the Prajapatis because they wanted to create something. So likewise, the Prachetas had the mission to do something. They had the mission to accomplish something. They had a spiritual mission given by their father. So their attitude was first to do austerities. Because austerity is the motor of life. No one can do anything without austerity. If you want to walk, you have to do that little austerity. If you want to build an empire, you have to do a great austerity, either in this life or in the next life. Austerity is the motor of life. Just like all our acharyas, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he had the desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So what was his first thing? He decided to chant 1 billion Maha Mantras. That was the austerity that he wanted to do. The same way, if we think about Srila Prabhupada, he did the same. He went to Vrindavan, he prepared himself, he went through a lot of austerity. So either if you want to achieve something on the spiritual world, on the spiritual realm, or on the material, austerity is the basis. Because Krishna says that in this world, no one can keep his body without work. So you have to work, you have to endeavor to get something out of any process. So here, having the perfect sambandha, the princes are doing the perfect right thing. They're simply meditating on the song they got from the perfect guru, the perfect sambandha and the perfect process. So now they have the perfect abhideya. They are doing austerities in the right mood. They are doing austerities to please Krishna and to get prayojana from Krishna, which is his favor. And that's what a perfect sambandha does. When our sambandha is proper, then our prayojana will be proper. And naturally our abhideya, the process, will follow through. So really our challenge is to perfect our sambandha again, to understand who we are. Okay. In that line of thought, that yagya, or sacrifice, is the motor of life, Krishna, in the third chapter of Gita, in the 10th verse, he gives a verse which was instructed like this. Sahayagya prajasriswa purovacha prajapati anena prasivi sidvam eshavo ista istakamaduk. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures set forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thy happy by this yagya sacrifice because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things. So Krishna is saying, be thou happy. And that's something intriguing because Krishna is saying many parts of this material world is a place of misery. Sasvatam Dukhalayam is famous, we always say that. It's a place of misery. And it's a place of misery because in our Sambandhagyan, we identify with the forms of this world and we think that the forms of this world actually have substance. And we develop attachment for them. And through that attachment, we'll suffer. Because we'll be attached to something which we have now and we're afraid to lose. Or we're attached to get something which we don't have and we think if we have, we'll be happy. So like that, the jiva, in contact with the material nature, will develop a taste for endeavoring to identify himself or herself with the material energy. That's why it's a miserable place. And it's miserable because this place has four principles. It has a beginning as a birth. You develop and then you have old age as a process which is coming for many of us. And then you feel that there are so many difficulties. And then there is disease and finally death. But these four miseries, they stop us from having a blissful existence. But the jiva being identified, the jiva thinks in her Sambandhagyan that this world actually is eternal and is happy. Because the jiva being happy and eternal projects that this manifestation will be eternally perfect. But as an energy it is eternal, but not as a manifestation. Therefore, the jiva suffers. So Krishna is saying here that by doing sacrifice you'll be happy. Because actually the only way to be happy is to do sacrifice. I used to see small documentaries from BBC and they were portraying simple villages in Africa. And people were walking 6 kilometers to get water and coming back. And they were saying they were happy. And we were amazed. I mean, how come? They live so far, they have nothing, little food to eat, and they're saying they're happy. And they seem happy in the video. They were laughing and they were happy and simple life and they were happy. And that was something which marked my childhood a long time. Why they were happy? And also in many villages in India, you could see people were actually happy. They were doing so many things. Taking care of animals, waking up early, doing lots of work, but they were happy. And that intrigued me. Because in the cities we had so much facilities, air conditioner, cars and things. And still, many times we were a bit more unhappy than they were. And that was intriguing. Because they were doing austerity. So by doing austerities, we become closer to Krishna. But if we don't recognize that the austerity is Krishna, then we'll be bound. Because then Krishna just says, before saying this, because he's starting the yoga ladder, so he's talking to all audiences. So some people still have the desire, let's say many people, including myself many times, to dominate the material energy. And because of that, Krishna gives this other path, this low path. His Holiness Subhag Maharaj, he was saying that. Someone asked, why is Krishna giving this process? And he said, because he knows in your heart there's still some desire. So he's giving that process. So here Krishna is giving the process of yoga ladder. It starts with karma kanda, which is the first process. This material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So when someone thinks he's the enjoyer and controller, he's actually taking the reverse role of God. The material energy is his realm to conquer. And God is actually the supplier or the servant. So the logic is reversed. So you see many religions, people go to church to say, oh Lord, give me this, give me that. Because the Lord is simply the servant. Going to supply all your needs. That's because the identity is reversed. But our original identity as Tatastha Shakti is simply to assist the Lord in putting his energies together for his pleasure. So the business of the jiva, basically in the spiritual world, is to assist Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. But because in the material world there's a reverse identity, the jiva thinks it's actually the controller. And therefore God is put in the servant position of a supplier. And that mentality is very deeply rooted in the material world. And many times as devotees, at least I find in my practice, many times I catch myself with that mentality, asking things for Krishna, asking Krishna to do things for me. And actually my position, or the position, ideal position shown by Rupa Goswami in that pastime, when he's writing the transcendental literature and Srimati Radharani personally comes with an umbrella and protects the sun, he is saying, I should be serving the Lord, but actually Srimati Radharani is coming here and serving me. This is not proper. And that pastime shows that this happens. The jiva, even though Rupa Goswami was not asking for that, Srimati Radharani, out of relationship, did that for him. And as I said in the beginning, the purpose of the Vedas is to develop a relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna is the substance. Then, in this Karma Yoga ladder, what simply is a progressive way to develop a relationship with Krishna. The Karma Kandi will simply see Krishna as a supplier. I do it, I get it. I have the money, I buy it. That's the Karma Kandi philosophy coming in and into our lives. I have the power, I control it. And it's the duty of the nature to supply that situation. Therefore, nature is the servant of my power. So that's the Karma Kandi. And the Karma Yogi is a little better because he's thinking in Krishna a little bit. He's saying, I'm full of desires, there is a Supreme, I should be connected to him, but my desires are too big, I can't just surrender. So then he will offer gradually something. And in the Sakam Karma Yoga process, he will eventually mature into the Niskam Karma Yoga process, when he knows that he must do it for the pleasure of someone else. He must understand that the pleasure is for someone else. And that's the meaning of austerity. Why is it austere? Because you're doing it for someone else. If you're just lying on your bed with nice book, AC, it's not really austere, right? We wouldn't say that's austere. But if you are doing something which is not fully what you'd like to be doing, but it's in pro action to someone else, that can be austere sometimes, but it's for a higher purpose. Therefore, many people in a community take roles which are not sometimes all pleasing, but they do it because it's for a higher purpose, for a higher pleasure. Right, so that's the austerity which is done. And ultimately, the austerity is to please Krishna. It's for Krishna's pleasure. Like that, in relationships, everyday relationships, because relationship is a spiritual concept, it means the focus is the other, not me. So, jivas usually in the material world, expecting something to happen in their direction. In marriages, it's very common. The spouse is waiting that the other spouse come. As a brahmachari, we were waiting that our authority came forward and did something for us. Like that, we usually are expecting that the other party manifests. But actually, relationship means the opposite. It means you offered something and the person, as a reciprocation, came in your direction. That's why Krishna says, in the degree you surrender, I reciprocate. That's simply the principle of relationship. If you go in the direction of someone, someone will come in your direction. That's the principle of relationship. And many relationships fail in this world because we are working on the reverse mentality. We're expecting people to do things for us when it should be, what can I do to help that person be illuminated, grow, know something more about Krishna? How can I help that person's service? And if that mentality is pervading, the yatra is just jumping, it's static, everybody's happy. If you see the video Simple Temple by Radhanath, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, he's just saying that we're not asking anything. If someone comes, you're not asking anything. We're simply giving. And then you see many people so happy saying, what can I do? Can I offer my life to your mission? He says, we don't want money from you, we want your life. So he's simply saying that. Because he's giving, that's the principle of relationship, then everybody reciprocates. So Krishna is showing how this relationship happens. And the meaning of the Veda is to develop a relationship. So all these stages of yoga is simply a different level of intimacy with the Lord. And finally, when this intimacy is complete, then you get a situation like Goloka Vrindavan, where everybody has a relationship with Krishna, and everybody is worried about the pleasure and the happiness of Krishna. It's the fully spiritual manifestation of Krishna. It's the Goloka Vrindavan. Right? So, I had another point to say. Also, Yajna, as Krishna says in 3.14 Bhagavad Gita, he's saying that all bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. So from your prescribed duties, the yajna is born. So depending on your duties, your yajna is there. And your duties will be born from your identity. So if you identify yourself as a grihastha, then there are so many duties as a grihastha. You identify yourself as a brahmachari, so many duties of brahmachari. You identify yourself as a sannyasi, there's a whole duty of a sannyasi. You identify yourself as a servant of the Lord, then your duties as a servant is there. And what is the main duty of the servant? It's to serve with devotional service his Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is the process for this age. Right? And in this verse, in the purport of 3.10, Prabhupada is pointing out how yajna and Krishna consciousness goes on very well. And it's very interesting how he's pointing this out. Because if you do yajna austerity and you're conscious of Krishna, the ultimate goal of the Veda is achieved. You understand why you're making austerities. Your sambandha, your abhideya, and your prayojana is in place. Therefore, everything you desire will be there. Everything, as it was pointed out in a previous verse, a devotee who has, in verse 29, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objective without fail, because your desires will be Krishna's desire. Therefore, they will happen anyway. Okay. So, in the same purport, Prabhupada is quoting a verse from Bhagavatam 11.5.32, where it says, Krishna Varna Tisa Krishnam. Krishna Varna, the incarnation of Krishna, which is pronounced in the two syllables, Krishna. And Tisa, he is very effulgent. And Akrishnam, he is not black. So this incarnation is defined by Jiva Goswami as Chaitanya himself. The incarnation of God who is reciting the holy name with the two syllables, and it's not black, but it's golden. Sango Pangastra Harsadam, he's here with his associates, he's here with his weapons, with his intimate associates, Parsadam. Yagi Sankirtan Prayayi, he's doing Sankirtan. Yayanti Hishu Medasaha. So the complete translation, I'd like to read this for you. In this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, in Bhagavatam, Narada is instructing Vasudev, and he's glorifying Vasudev for being everything. He's Anirudh, he's Sankarshan, he's Pradyumna, he's everything. And he says, even in Kali Yuga, Kalo Api, even in Kali Yuga, you come. You come as this incarnation who is not blackish, but is effulgent and sings these two syllables, Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, this is the process for Kali Yuga. This is the process for us to chant and realize our original Sambandha as a servant of the Lord. Therefore, the chanting process is very important and it should be central in our life, because this is the same austerity with the Prachetas were doing in the ocean to achieve their goal. It's the same, the very same austerity, but it's given in a very nice way. Chanting the holy names, associating with the devotees, taking prasadam, and distributing the holy names. Because in the purport of this 11.5.32, it's mentioned that if one sees the Lord Gauranga, he will automatically chant the holy names. Automatically is what's catching my mind, automatically. But if one sees the Lord, it means he has seen Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu is the one who controls Ahankara. And only by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu can this identity as enjoy and controller be removed. So Nityananda is giving the holy names very easily, but he asks only for one thing. It's a very simple thing in a song. Simply give up sense enjoyment, and then I'll give it to you. But that seems to be very hard, at least for me. Very addicted for many millions of lives to that part of life. So I'm still praying for Lord Nityananda. But if we see the Lord Gauranga, it means we have gone through Nityananda, who has introduced us to Srimati Radharani, who has given us to him. So in that way, in that line, asking for the blessing of the Vaishnavas, imploring to get the mercy of doing devotional service in the holy dham, studying Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of Vaishnavas, chanting the holy names. That's the perfect situation for us to be in. And if we somehow get the perfect sambandha of how this is the most fortunate situation for all of us, then definitely our abhideya will be perfect, our performance, and our goal will be perfect. And therefore our lives will be perfect. So I'll end here, and if you have questions, comments, I know many devotees are advanced, they could compliment us.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you said purpose of Vedas is to develop relationship with Krishna. I have also learned the rules and regulations and the do nots are to remember Krishna always and to not forget Krishna. Now, what is the connection? I understood by hearing that purpose of Vedas is to never forget Krishna. But now I am hearing purpose of Vedas is to develop relationship with Krishna. Am I right or wrong?
They are two the same things. To develop a relationship of Krishna is the proeminent. To develop attraction to Krishna is the proeminent. But attraction to Krishna is like one track of the rail, and retraction from the material world is the other track of the rail. Okay? You have two tracks. It doesn't mean that they are different things, they are going against. It only means that when you develop attraction for Krishna, naturally you will develop retraction from the world. But if you simply develop retraction from the world, your real rules and regulation, it doesn't mean you develop attraction for Krishna. You may become a Mayavadi, you may be attracted to Brahma manifestation. You may become a yogi, you may become so many things. But the purpose of the Vedas is for you to develop a relationship with Krishna. To become or to re-find your relationship with the Lord.
One more question. Now, in connection to that, from where can I have a quote which says the purpose of the Vedas is to develop relationship with Krishna?
In all the Vedas. You see that?
Any one statement,
okay,
anywhere?
I can tell you. I can. In the song of Lord Shiva, which was just sung, he says that the ultimate goal, the prayojana, is to see Lord Shyamasundara in the form of two arms. That's the ultimate goal. So that's relationship. Because if you see Krishna, you like to serve Krishna. Now, if you still have a desire for opulence, you may end up in Vaikuntha. Because you want to serve the Lord, but for you it's very important to have an opulent realm together and to worship the Lord in reverence. Still, it's spiritual, but has the taste. If the taste is royal mood, then you go to Dwarka. And if the taste is independence from the Lord, you'll be in the material world. But it's still, it's a relationship with the Lord. Because if the Lord is everything, how can you not relate with the Lord? This body belongs to the Lord. Right? The modes belong to the Lord. So everything is the Lord. But at the same time, He's aloof from everything. And if we desire to have that personal relationship with the Lord, He gives us the means and the sages to connect us to that mentality.
Okay, now one more point. You just said everything is the Lord. The modes also belong to the Lord. That's also the Lord. So even Mayavadis say everything is God, and we are also seeing everything is the Lord. Then how are we different from them?
They simply don't know everything. They know part of it. They only know a part of it. Because Brahman is the energy of Krishna. Right? So if you see anything beautiful in this world, the attractiveness of that thing is Krishna. The greenness of the grass, the coolness of the breeze, the beauty of the beach, the opulence of the richness, all this is Krishna. What people are looking for is Krishna, but they think it's the material energy. Then they become a karmi. They think the peacefulness of the Brahman is the goal. So this peacefulness is Krishna. But they cannot have a relationship as a person to Krishna. That's why they end up as a Mayavadi.
Thank you.
Hare Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. You were mentioning about Karma Kanda and you listed it under the Yoga Ladder. So I just want a clarification. If is Karma Kanda part of the Yoga Ladder or does the Yoga Ladder begin at Karma Yoga?
It is part. Also in the Manav Samhita, the terms are very carefully chosen so that everybody will follow the Vedas. Because at least if you follow the Vedas, you have a chance of elevating yourself. So Karma Kanda, yes, it's a process by Jaimini. He's given Karma Kanda. The only thing is they think that if you do austerity now, if you do sacrifice, you'll be promoted to the celestial planets, live a very opulent life, then you come back again, you do more austerities, and like that you eternally in the cycle of opulence. The fault in this thought is that humans have four faults. And at one point you will commit a mistake and then you will fall from the sattva guna and then you end up in an animal species. So Karma Kanda is the first stage. Because if you do a ritual, it means you find a priest. And maybe there's a chance the priest will be a Vaishnava and he'll tell you about Krishna. So there's a chance that you pick up relationship with Krishna. It's a lower level, but it's the first level. But it is in the yoga level, right? And then karma yoga goes on. Niskama karma yoga, buddhi yoga, and bhakti yoga.
My doubt was that the yoga ladder, yoga implying a connection to Krishna. I was not seeing a direct connection to Krishna in karma kanda. It's more indirect.
It's indirect in the sense that basically it's relating to the demigods. So it's indirect. It's the most indirect. That's why it's the lowest. Because you think you are the controller. In Karma Yoga, you already know there's a superior control, but the desires are too big. This is a difference, a qualitative difference. That's why Krishna says Karma Yoga in Krishna consciousness, which will be even higher than the Jnana Yoga. Because Jnana Yoga doesn't do anything, it's simply retraction from the world. But a Karma Yogi, if you understand that Krishna is the ultimate goal, and he goes to the Niskama Karma, he can do beautiful things with Krishna. he can build a whole civilization for Krishna on that principle.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to ask about our identity, and because we may not be fully situated in the realization of our identity as eternal son of Krishna, but we also may not be fully situated in identity that I'm a grihastha, so I must do my duty. So how do we strike a balance? Because sometimes we go this way, sometimes we go that way. We're more inspired as a servant of Krishna, or we're more dutiful, and we become like confused.
Thanks. That's a very nice question, actually. Balance is a very important point for the Gita. There's so many verses talking about balance. Actually, if we look at the whole Veda, it's giving balance. Because the ultimate balance is to understand our original identity. We are out of balance when we think that we are this body. Because the body has one identity, different from the soul. So that's unbalanced. When we go back to that balance that we actually realize that our identity is a servant of the Lord, in that moment we are balanced, fully balanced. Therefore, you have a full relationship with the Lord, who is fully balanced. The common ground is a full balance. You understand your nature, you can interact with Krishna, fully balanced. But right now we are imbalanced. The more imbalanced, the more trouble we have. If you just think this world is mine to enjoy as I want, the more trouble you have. If you recognize Krishna in the laws, less trouble. If you recognize this world is for the pleasure of Krishna, then there's even less trouble. Even if you go through difficult situations, ultimately you understand it's for the pleasure of Krishna, so you don't really identify with the situation. We take lessons every day from His Holiness Japataka Maharaj, and He's not unaffected. Any person in that situation would just be saying, the world is miserable, God is miserable, I gave my life to God, but look what He did to me. And he doesn't think like that. He actually said to, I heard from one disciple of his, he says, no, Krishna gave me this form, so people with the same form could actually be interested in Krishna, I could talk to them. So when he goes to the different academies in America, people who have similar problems can be interested in Krishna, and I can talk to them. So they're not that affected because they're fully balanced. So for us, when the Grihastha Ashram, it's very important to actually understand what is Grihastha Ashram, what is the purpose of Grihastha Ashram, what is the essence of relationship. Then we can be successful offering the relationship to Krishna. Our tendency is to think the relationship is for me. What can I take from the relationship? My emotional needs and everything. So thinking like that, we usually meet difficulties. But as soon as you reverse and you think the relationship is for the partner, is for the pleasure of Krishna, how to help that small community in Krishna consciousness, then it becomes a lot better. And it can even become perfect, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family, that is a perfect example. So thank you very much. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.